You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Well, you already put God up here, and then you're putting somebody above you, so now that person is in the way. Right?
Yeah.
That glory is misplaced and in the way of the glory you should be giving God.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, man, he really gets it. And then, so I kind of stay friends with Richard, and he had gotten out of work because of some things he was dealing with, and he needed a roommate because he could use the, he had an empty room in his house, and he could use the extra income. And that girl that I was seeing heard about it. I was like, well, Joe needs a place. Needs to leave where he's at.
So he ended up rooming with him.
I come in. God bless her. I still owe her money because she footed the first month for me.
Wow.
Yeah, she was awesome.
But go ahead. So you're sharing a house with this preacher guy.
Yeah, and then I move in with him. He's watching me struggle. I actually violated probation while living there with him.
You were drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me and him still make jokes that because we did the resurrection thing for me to get out of my drinking, we make jokes that the drunk Joe is now dead because we crucified his flesh, and now I'm a new creation in Christ. And that all happened. I remember the 90 days starting, and this is the Jesus part that got me sober. I remember telling Richard, I'll do the working out every morning, and I'll read scripture with you every morning. I don't think I need to not do the drinking.
Yeah, well, because you said to him, he told me that you said, oh, I can stop anytime I want. And then he put you to test it. Oh, well, if you can, then you stop for 90 days.
Yeah.
And you couldn't contest it.
If it's not a problem, it's not a problem to not do it for 90 days.
And he had you there.
Yeah. And so I didn't have an answer for that other than, oh, well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Okay.
So then for the first 5 days, we're doing the working out and the scripture reading.
Yeah.
But I'm not sober. So on like the fifth morning or I think it was fifth night or whatever, I'm sitting in the living room.
Yeah.
And I'm hungover.
What happened?
And, you know, when we're active, we don't think anybody notices, right?
Yeah.
I turn to him and I say, Richard, I said, I'm not sober.
Yeah.
And he goes, I know. I'm just like, I know. So no judgment.
No.
And I'll never forget. Like, he was just like, I know. It's okay.
Unconditional love.
CPR. Christ-like positive regard. Even Christ-like in my admission.
Regard,
even my admission of omission of the truth, which is lying. Even in my admission of I'm lying to you, bro, for a week now, no judgment, just Christ-like positive regard.
So what happens then?
And then it just something in me just clicks, and I'm like,
do you normally tell us
that
you've been crying a lot today, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah,
and I'm glad.
Well,
it's
you got a little
up.
Watery there too. There.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, you get touched by the things you say, but are you saying stuff you haven't said for a while?
I cry a lot.
Yeah.
Now more and more as I grow closer to God.
Yeah.
You know,
he gave you a tender heart.
I do really have a tender heart.
And he gives us tender mercies because he has a tender heart. So go ahead. So you're sitting next to him and you say, I'm really drunk. What happens next? Now you officially do start the 90 days?
Now I'm like, let's do it. He says, but me and him both get this feeling of, well, let's do it then. It's not working getting drunk and doing drugs. Let's do it then.
And so you do it?
I do it, and like I remember being in the weight room in the garage in the weight room, and we've got this one painting of or picture of Jesus on the wall in there.
Yeah,
and I just remember like looking up at it and crying out to God as I'm like feeling the pain of the workout of my flesh just telling me to quit, and I'm like, no, my flesh don't run me no more. Let it die, God, take it, and just doing that for 90 days.
Wow.
We worked out this morning. I kind of sandbagged most of it. I was going to tell him I only worked out with you this morning, so when I go on the air with Red, I could tell him I worked out with you.
So he knew about this, huh?
Yeah. Oh, he was there. I would have this, like, I have a really powerful voice box at this point I'm starting to learn, like, and I would just be yelling Jesus in, like, this tone that would, like, if I yell, like, my decibel meter on my watch goes off. It says it's 95 decibels. You might want to be careful. And
wow, really?
Yeah. And now
is that an iPhone watch or something?
Yeah, actually, he gave me this.
Richard did.
Yeah.
Phew, this guy is something else, huh?
Nah, he's awesome. He's my bro-friend. That's why we started. He's my business partner for Bro-Friends Inc. And the vision for Bro-Friends is that we need to be better bro-friends. Period. A brother. And if you look up the definition of bro-friends, it's a friend who's closer than a brother.
Is he your first bro-friend ever?
I've had some bro-friends along the way that I would say maybe came before him. But, like, as far as being able to build the rapport me and Richard have built with each other, that's a first for me.
Yeah. Now, do you think that Jesus is your bro-friend?
I think Jesus was the first bro-friend.
Yeah.
Jesus is the originator of bro friends.
You know, people don't really think about this, but I always say people don't realize Jesus was a man's man.
Oh, what kind
of a man? First of all, he was a carpenter, so he probably had muscles like you have.
So you go and walk up to fishermen right now. You try to get some fishermen to listen to you. You're telling me he wasn't a man's man before the fishermen stopped what they were doing and said he actually got them to listen, and it didn't take convincing.
Yeah, and he says, put your nets in the water. Now we've been fishing all night, Peter says. Put it back, put the net back in. Says, okay, I'll do as you say. It's filled over capacity. Suddenly, Peter falls to his knees and said, depart from me, I'm not a clean man. Imagine knowing. I mean, that took greatness to realize, to know that you're what you're not and to admit it.
Yeah.
And that's when Jesus decides to say, hey. Come follow me. Put down your nets.
I'll make
you a fisher of men.
That's it. The man's man. I'll make you another man's man.
But, I mean, Jesus was willing to... People don't realize that Jesus was willing to die on the cross. Did you see the movie My Only Son?
I have not.
Okay. Phenomenal. You will love it. So here you go with Abraham. I don't know why the Jews are blind to this. Here's Abraham, who was willing to sacrifice his son. The angel stops his arm from killing his son and says, look over in the thicket. There is a goat. Hence a scapegoat.
Right.
Kill the goat instead. And on the same mountain 2,000 years later, God does give up his son, and Jesus dies to show his love for a sinful world.
I always came to this conclusion, very similar to that, so the promise of Abraham could not have been fulfilled because we couldn't keep the commandments.
Yeah.
So what did God do to pay the debt?
He did it.
He said, I have to. I have to do what I asked Abraham to do. To make sure that this promise sticks this time and people can really come to me. Because, you know, we couldn't. Not from this worldly point of view. We would not be able to. I tell people, you know, people talk about the law of attraction, right? This is a new fad that you hear a lot about.
Yeah.
Like, so you're telling me that if I worship an idea, it'll come to me, right? That's what you're telling me.
Instead
I think it's total BS.
Yeah.
I think the whole law of attraction is BS. You know what it is? Not BS to me, the law of distraction.
Law of distraction? What is that?
It's the law of sin.
Yeah.
Every form of cheap distraction that we allow ourselves to entertain in our lives comes from the sin we were all born in. It's just cheap distractions. And they're all distractions from what? The love of God.
Yeah.
The love of God. That's the devil doesn't care, in my eyes, that you sin. That's not his business. You're going to sin anyways. You're born a sinner.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to get you to sin.
So what?
He has to get you distracted from the love of God. Because that's what offends him most, is that God loved us so much.
So he doesn't want God in our lives.
Right. He doesn't want us to have that relationship. The relationship that Jesus died to fulfill.
We wonder why, though. Why would a being care, you know, whether I have a relationship with God or not? I don't know.
It's because he had one like it once.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Good answer. You're pretty wise for a 37-year-old guy who's only been sober 2 years.
Yeah, it takes something to recognize something.
But essentially, though, since the age of 9, remember, I was 29 when I came to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a bunch of baloney until I got born again in my living room. And you at 9, from the next-door neighbors who were Christians who led you to Christ, and you cried and wailed that day, you knew there had been a change. So essentially, that seed of goodness, that seed of holiness had been planted within your bosom and was, even though you were doing drugs, even though you were fornicating, even though you're just messing up and DUI, whatever, all the time, God's steady in there. Saying,
no sin can separate
you. You were born a baby addicted because your mother was addicted. You were 1.7 pounds.
No sin can separate a man from the love of God.
Neither height nor depth.
Yep. Nothing.
Nothing. So you feel that.
Yeah. I think it's great because, like, you know, I was wondering in my meditation last night, in one of my step classes or, you know, one of my recovery classes I help facilitate, we're doing an exercise now where we're supposed to take some time alone to see how we feel. Let God give us some kind of feelings and notions and thoughts. And in my meditation last night, I'm sitting by my fire. There's lightning in the background. It's this beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, so like what's – so I know I'm yours, and I know you're real. So what's my purpose?
Ah.
And then as I sat back, the rain started coming in, and I sat and watched this fire burn as the rain was still hitting it. And he said, some flames don't take – some flames burn through the rain.
And so what does that mean to you?
So I'm – no matter how much the world tried to wash away the fire in me that God gave me, it's still there.
So what's your purpose?
It's people to see and come to know the fire of the Holy Spirit that God gave us through Christ.
Okay, so let's say somebody's listening to this broadcast right now, and they don't know the Lord. They don't realize they can be. They accidentally came upon this.
Okay.
That's exciting. Yeah, that they don't know the Lord. They don't know that God can say, I can forgive all your nasty past. I can forgive all the times you sin, all the ugliness, all the swearing, the fornication, stealing, being unfaithful, betraying people, living for just self, self, self. They can have a turnaround. They can all be forgiven, and they can have a new beginning. Why don't you make it short, make it like less than a minute. Why don't we close our eyes, and you lead them and me in a prayer of salvation. Would you like to do that?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh, Lord Jesus, you are everything we've ever wanted and can never find here on this earth. And therefore, you will be there when we leave. Nothing can separate us from the love of the Father that you gave us in your death.